Good evening, good evening, good evening. Can y'all hear me? Okay, all right. Let's pray. Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, to give you honor and glory and praise, and to say thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity, Father God, to learn about our fellowship and our communion with you. We thank you, Lord God, for each and every student, those here, Lord God, and those who are viewing by internet. We plead the blood of Jesus, Father God, over each and every one of them, over their homes and over their families, Lord. Thank you for divine protection. Thank you, Lord God, for our apostle. Thank you, Lord God, that you gave him the vision, Lord God, for this school where men and women, Lord God, can come and learn more of you. We give you all honor, all glory, and all praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you know, I like to start with first things first. I understand that next week is our first exam for this semester. The exam will come from chapters 4 and whatever we cover in chapter 5 tonight. Okay, 4 and 5. When I went back over my notes, I think the only thing that we did this semester so far that was not in your book was 1 Samuel 30, David and Ziklag, and we use that as an example of prayer. You may want to be just a little familiar with that for this particular exam. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Amen? All right. So tonight we're starting chapter 5. How to develop a life of constant prayer. How to develop a life of constant prayer. And as I was preparing, I started just thinking about it. It's strange that we're starting this now at the beginning of the year, because we're going to be looking at words like commitment and perseverance. And, you know, we all make what we call New Year's resolutions. And we last, what? 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to lose weight. And man, you know, when we start off with so much enthusiasm and excitement, and it is our intent, you know, to do what it is that we say we were going to do. Amen? Sometimes that's the way it is with some of us when it comes to prayer. You know, we say, I am going to pray every day. And when we say it, we mean it. I mean, you know, it's not anything that we don't mean, but, you know, that's what we say. And what the author is going to begin to show us, you know, is that this is a problem among believers. In the area of prayer, they give up waiting for the answer. You know, you're praying, and when you don't see the answer right away, then you give up. And what he's saying is that we give up too quickly and that we quit what he calls persevering. He's given us three, and I'm going to say characteristics or qualities that will help us to develop a life of constant prayer. And I wrote down words like constant. I wrote down continuous. I wrote down until. Amen. And then I wrote down accountability. Tonight you heard Reverend Gautreaux talk about here at Word of Life Christian Center, we are becoming accountable. Thank God for the apostolic. Thank God for teaching us about the kingdom of God and teaching us about authority and God's government. Amen. Because here, our apostle has decided that he's starting from the top. You know, if you're going to be in a leadership position, you know, you're going to have to pray. And, you know, we text. Hallelujah. We text when we pray, how long we prayed, what we read daily. Amen. It's on a daily basis. And what it's doing, believe it or not, it's helping us not only to become a accountable. But everybody's talking about how we thought, you know, we were there. But now that we're beginning to pray, we're beginning to see more, understand more. And like Reverend Gotro was saying, you know, when the revelation goes forth from the man of God's mouth, we're quicker now. We're quicker to catch it. You know, you're sitting there and you're saying, I see that. I see that. Amen. You know, here at Word Life Christian Center, we have master life bearers. And we're privileged to have, one couple sitting here in this class, master life bearers here at Word of Life Christian Center. And then it goes down to life bearers. And at this point, it is life bearers who are reporting to master life bearers who are reporting to apostle. Amen. And then some of us, intercessors, you know, we are also, we go directly to our apostle because we're accountable. You know, you're talking about leading prayer. Well, if you're going to lead prayer, you got to pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Okay. So what we're going to start with, I'm going to give you the, qualities, characteristics, whatever you want to call them, how to develop this life of constant prayer. He said that you need three things. This is what your author is saying. The first one is commitment. And then we're going to go back and we're going to look at some things and talk about it. And then he said you need discipline and you need perseverance. Okay, commitment, discipline, and perseverance. Now, he defines commitment as a quality decision. And this is in your book. A quality decision to hold fast to that decision for a long period of time, to do it wholeheartedly without looking back. So, you know, if I had to underline anything, it would be quality decision. That would be one. Hold fast. Amen. Remember I said until, you know, and he's going to talk about that a little bit later. But, you know, that until what? Until the manifestation shows up. You know, when we don't see our answers in a week or two, we have a tendency to lose heart. You know, I must not be praying right. I must not have heard God. These are the kind of things that, the thoughts that comes to us. And then in the beginning, you know, you were really enthusiastic and you were just in there, man. You were praying. And then when you didn't see the answer, you know, you start praying a little bit less about it and a little bit less about it. But, you know, this is not what we ought to be doing. You know, when God gives us an assignment in prayer, we ought to hold on to that assignment until, amen, until, it doesn't matter, has nothing, remember I told you how Apostle shared about there are no calendars and no clocks in heaven. You're supposed to hold on to that until the manifestation shows up, amen, hold on to that prayer. Commitment, he said, is the first step needed to achieve a constant and continuous prayer life. You got to make a commitment. We have to make the decision to pray every day, knowing that if we don't, God's will and purpose might not be done in our lives, and God will be unable to have a close relationship with us. Now, you go back to those first chapters, and we talk about, you know, the purpose of praying, and that is to have that intimate relationship with God. Amen. Talking about our communion with him. God wants, now this was important to me. God wants to change and touch the lives of people, nations, and continents, and to give them the desire to want and to do. Amen. Desire to want and to do. Now that should sound familiar. Anybody who study your Bible a little bit, turn to Philippians 2 and 13. Now this is not in your book. Philippians 2 and 13. God wants to change and touch the lives of people, nations, and continents. But he needs somebody to pray. That's what it is. He needs somebody to pray. And he wants to give them the desire to want and to do. Philippians 2:13, and I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. First, we'll look at it in the King James Version. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And remember, one of our lessons, you know, told us that God can't do anything in this earth realm legally unless somebody asks him. Amen? Somebody's got to ask him. And so that's what we're going to be doing. We're learning how to go to him and ask him. Now, in Philippians 2:13 in the Amplified, says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Amen. Amen. God is at work in us, and he wants to be able to work in people. Amen. Other people, in nations and in continents, but he needs us to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. He can't do it. His will, you know, may not be done if he can't find somebody who's willing to ask him. What should we do with people who are indecisive and uncommitted to prayer? Turn to Joel chapter 3, or Joel, however you want to pronounce it. Joel chapter 3. Verse 14, and it reads, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Isn't that something? Multitudes, multitudes, my, the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Our mission, your author says, as ministers, but I say as men and women of God, amen? And we are ministers, glory to God, hallelujah. It is to encourage people and encourage ourselves. It's got to begin with us. Encourage people to make a quality decision and to develop a daily prayer, and he used the word habit, in which they can approach God and seek his face. But you see, before we can encourage anybody else, you know, we have to be doing it ourselves. Amen? A daily, constant prayer life. Now, I really had to chuckle with this one because our author, he says, in the family, the first to lead by example should be the husband. Should be the husband. And I put words, original intent. That was God's original intent. For so long, you know, the only people, not at Word of Life Christian Center, praise the Lord, hallelujah. We got a lot of men. We got a lot of men here who are dedicated to the things of God and who come to prayer. Hallelujah. But in a church that I grew up, I think there might have been one deacon who opened a church for the sisters to come in and pray. You know, they had the, I'm serious, you know. But I mean, when you talk about prayer warriors in the church where I came from, it was all women. But remember, God's original intent, his original purpose was for men to lead by example. Amen? Followed by the wife and then the children. There are four ways men can use to bring God's glory and blessing into their homes or over certain situations. This is in your book. He says, the first one was the man, and I'm going to just say whoever's the head of the house, amen, should be the first one to serve. And you're talking about service to God. And what you're doing is you're setting the example for the rest of the house. You know, if the man is going to do it, then naturally everybody else is going to begin to fall in line. The man should be, this is according to your author, the first to praise and worship. Amen? when we have seen mostly, you know, when we grew up, where we grew up. Like I said, here at Word of Life Christian Center, we have a lot of men who don't mind praising and worshiping God. He should also be the first one to pray. When men take the initiative to pray and to seek God's presence, the blessings will increase in their homes. Men, according to our author, and I believe this is God's original intent. This is God's original intent. Men have a legal authority that women do not have. It is the authority that they have as high priests of their homes. Amen? And as the high priest, it loosens the priestly blessing upon the family. And then men should be the first to give tithes. The windows of heaven are open and the blessings poured out upon their finances. All of this is part of commitment. Amen? So ideally, God's original intent was for the man to be the leader, and he was to lead his family. We understand that in some families, you know, there may, for various reasons, there may not be a man, but whoever is in authority in that home should be the one to lead the house, amen, in these four aspects: service, praise, and worship. The first one to take the initiative to seek God's presence, and then the one to give tithes. And I think, you know, when we look at right now, Apostle is teaching our young people. Let's see. Somebody help me. Generation Salvation. Generation Salvation. He's teaching them because, I mean, for some, they've missed something. There's a you know, Apostle is always talking about process now and progress, process and progress. And I think what's happened, there's a generation that's missed something because of, I guess, the demands that have been placed on families. You know, I grew up at a time when, you know, my grandmother took me to Sunday school. We had Sunday school. Amen. Now we have children's church. And I had the opportunity to experience serving God. But I think we're all running now. We're all busy. Everybody's working. And somehow we've got some people, young people, who missed something. And I don't think it's the ones now. I think probably it was the ones before them, and that they didn't teach the ones that we have now. And so they've missed a part. And so what our apostle is doing, he's going back now, and he's trying to catch them up, 11 to 37, amen? And then he's trying to instill in them, I guess, what was instilled in some of us, amen? You know, just that part that they are missing. But this is what our author is saying. You know, he's saying that it's got to begin with the head. And as the head begins to commit, then the wife is going to follow, then the children. Amen? Amen? Amen. The second aspect or quality that I gave you was discipline. And discipline means to submit our flesh in servitude in order to achieve a goal. Discipline, to submit our flesh into servitude in order to achieve a goal. Now, discipline itself is not the goal, but it is the means to get there. The goal is to pray without ceasing and to persevere in prayer. Discipline is the means that we use when we make the commitment. You see, when you make a commitment, you're going to have to be disciplined to keep the commitment that you made. Amen? Can y'all see that? Okay, discipline is the means that we use when we make the commitment to have a prayer life that is constant and to establish a relationship with God. How did Paul discipline himself? How did he use that quality of discipline? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, meaning I got to get control of my own body. Amen. And he says, I can still hear Apostle, you know, tell the real you. Amen. The real man, the real woman on the inside. You know, I let my spirit man have the ascendancy. My spirit man, the real me, has to bring my body under subjection. And I got to keep it under, because if I don't keep it under, then, you know, I'm going to be a castaway. Amen. I can't tell nobody else unless I bring my own body. And then we're going to learn a little bit later, you know, like I told you before, your body does not want to pray. It does not want to pray. And we're going to find out that body is going to be one of our obstacles. The body says, I am tired. I don't feel good. I need to sleep. I need to, you know, it's going to constantly say those kind of things to you. And what you have to do is you have to bring it under subjection. You have to say, I have made a commitment to pray, and I am going to pray. Amen. And don't talk about sleep. You know, those of us who are praying right now, I mean, I get dings on my little phone, and I've heard apostles say that too. I didn't know it go directly to him. It's like, oh my God, we're dinging his phone at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, but we are, amen. But sometimes you're just so sleepy. Oh my God, oh my, oh Jesus, you're sleepy. Look, there was one night I couldn't sleep, you know, a little while, and then I said, okay, I'm gonna read. I'm going to read first, and then I'm going to pray later. And, you know, and I read, you know, everything that I wanted to read, and then I fell asleep. And then I woke up. And then what happened was I found myself, I was just praying, you know, going to sleep, and every time I just almost waking up, I'm still praying. It's like, no, I have to get up, you know. I have to sit up because, I mean, you don't want, I mean, I heard something the other day. This is good for y'all as students. You know, you think, well, you know, I can just pray in the spirit and, you know, think about what I'm going to go cook and I'm going to, because I'm praying in the spirit. I heard the word vain babblings. Oh, my God. Sometimes, you know, we think we're praying, but if your heart and your mind is not connected to your praying, it is vain babbling. You're not getting anywhere. You're not satisfying anything. So, you know, I have to get alert. You know, I have to, you know, straighten myself up, and you know, and I say, okay, all right, I can do this. And then sometimes it just gets so, I'm just so, I guess, what, overshadowed, you know, by the prayer. And then all of a sudden the sleep is gone because what I'm doing, I'm telling my body, you're not in control. We're gonna wake up here. We're gonna wake up and we're gonna pray. Amen, amen. Glory to God. So just remember that, you know, your body does not want to pray. It does not. Amen. It is not in control. God never intended for your body to be in control. He always intended for your spirit man to have the ascendancy. And look, there it is right there. The flesh never wants to pray. Discipline helps us to submit our flesh to God's will. Submit your flesh to God's will. Amen. And then the last one he talked about was perseverance. Now, it's in your book, but I'm going to spell this Greek word for you. I don't know if you're going to see this one again, but I'll spell it. P-R-O-S-K-A-R-T-E-R-E-S-I-S. And I think today I pronounced it, I'm not going to even try. Amen. Yeah, whatever. Amen. It is the Greek word. It is the Greek word for perseverance. Now listen to this. It means to insist, to be strong, there's that word, until. To be strong until, to persevere, to remain steadfast, to stay in one place instead of abandoning it, to have consistency or to be consistent with a person or a thing. Okay, that's that word, perseverance, and in the Greek, you know, that's what it means. So you see, and this is what happens. When you're on a prayer, I'm going to call it project, amen? You're believing God for something, and you're asking God for something. You know, you have to just persevere. You know, you have to just pray until the thing shows up. You know, don't give up. And I think, you know, we say, well, I must have missed God, you know, when things don't show up. But it's that we have given up too soon. You know, we start off praying, and then we're asking God, and we're petitioning God, and we're praying. And then when it doesn't happen in a week or 2 weeks, you know, we just give up. No, you cannot give up. You know, just stay there. Just stay there, especially if it's given to you by God. If God gives you a project, or if he gives you a word and you're praying, oh my, just stay in there. Just stay in there. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Just stay with it. Just stay with it until the thing shows up. And then we had some scriptures that were talking about persevering. And I'll just read them for you. You can write them down. Acts 1 and 14 says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Talked about these all, the word continued is there. In prayer and supplication. And you're going to learn that supplication is, I don't want to use the word type. I'm going to say it's another level of prayer. You've got petition and you got supplication. He says, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brethren. Then over in Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Sounds like consistent to me. And then Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's that word perseverance. Amen. To just stay with it. Just stay with it. Just stay with it. Just stay with it until. Amen. Hallelujah. There are three great enemies to every believer. Three great enemies. Pride, fear, and lack of perseverance. Pride, fear, and lack of perseverance. Pride, this sin opens the door to every other sin. And then your author talks about Lucifer. You know, he was so proud and he wanted to exalt himself. He wanted to be God, amen? And then fear. This spirit paralyzes you. It is an obstacle that impedes you from being successful. Fear, amen? And then lack of perseverance. As we said, pride opens the door to every sin. Fear binds. If you're in fear, you're in bondage. Isn't that something? Okay, fear binds and paralyzes, and lack of perseverance immobilizes and detains you from going forward. You find people that begin projects but never finish them, amen, because of lack of perseverance. And then he says, inconsistency is an evil deed. Isn't that something? Inconsistency is an evil deed. The word of God teaches that we should persevere in prayer, doctrine, salvation, and grace in fulfilling the word and in doing what is right. Amen. We should persevere. We often give up on prayer. We start out with enthusiasm for a time, but later we stop or slow down, causing our spiritual life to dry up. Isn't that something? To dry up. What did Jesus say about perseverance and consistency? Turn to Luke 18:1. In Luke 18:1, it says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen? So the implication here is if you don't pray, you're going to faint. Amen? And that faint means lose heart, lose hope, give up. Amen? If you don't pray. Jesus emphasized two very important points. One, prayer is a necessity. We need to pray because we have to have communion with God. We have to have communion with God. We are called to do it. God wants to establish his will on earth and to change the will of men. Remember, prayer helps us from falling into temptation. That was in one of our previous chapters. When we pray, you know, it makes us aware of temptation and how to deal with it. And then the other thing that, you know, Jesus was teaching us in Luke 18:1, to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing and don't lose heart. The words lose heart means to fail wholeheartedly, to lose your courage and want to give up. Amen. What else did Jesus say concerning perseverance in prayer? Turn to Matthew 7:7. Now this was just so good to me. I want y'all to understand this little part right here is like, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me to do this justice. Amen. Help me, help me, help me, help me. I saw something I had never seen before. It's like this is a scripture that we all know it, we all quote it. But I never saw what this man in this book said. I never saw that before. Amen. Matthew 7:7. And it says, and we know it, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now he's saying, this is something that Jesus said. Could you see in my Bible, it's in red. Is it in red in yours? Okay. It is in red. So this is something that Jesus said. And then he gives us the Greek word. This is all part of his explanation. And the word is A-I-T-E-O, which means to beg, petition, or supplication. The word implies to be persistent in asking, to never give up, never lose heart when the answer is taking too long. Amen? Okay. Ask. That's what he says. Ask. Never give up. Never lose heart, even though the answer is taking long. And then he says seek. Implies to seek God with intensity. You notice we're not seeking what we're asking for. We're seeking God. This is no longer a petition. I'm not asking. I'm not asking at this point. Or a supplication. Rather, it is an intense and diligent search. It is to search for something until it is found. Amen. You're searching until it is found. And then he says knock is also translated as knocking at the door until it falls. Knocking at the door until it falls. This word implies an intense search until there is a breakthrough. Amen? This type of search has no limitations. Now, and what he's saying, you know, well, these are levels. There are levels in prayer that you start off just asking. Amen? You're asking God for something. And then your author goes on to say, you know, if you don't see the answer yet or if the thing don't show up yet, then you start seeking. You're seeking God. Amen? Intensely. I'm seeking. What's the matter here? What's the matter? What's going on? What's going on? Show me. You know, believe in God that what you have asked for in the beginning, you know, it's for you. I won't know why, Lord, but I'm searching. You see what I'm saying? Okay, you ask, and then you're going to search. And he said, if it still don't show up, amen, if it's still not there, then you start knocking. You know, and it's like, you're going to knock until the door fall in and the doors are open and this thing comes to you. I had never seen that before. I had never seen this as being, and he calls it levels. I think he calls it levels of prayer. And it's like, whoa, I just thought, you know, ask and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find, and knock, and the door shall be opened. But he's saying that these are levels of prayer that you start off asking, and then you go to seeking, searching, and then you go knocking. Amen? Amen. When we go into this last phase, it is no longer a calling. And this sounds like in the spirit to me, praying in tongues. You know, you're praying, you're not just calling. He said, but it's groaning. And it's, he said, I know you've done that. Everybody's done that. You know, and it just comes. He said, a wailing which will give birth to something in the spirit. We must pray until there is a breakthrough. Amen. Hallelujah. We must pray until there is a breakthrough. In Galatians 4:19, it says, my little children, for whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Until Christ be formed in you. That's that travailing. That's that asking, seeking, knocking. And we do this. You know, we do this. There was a time in our prayer, in our corporate prayer, you know, we would read this verse and we were praying for our children. You know, I can remember that vividly. You know, and we were saying, I'm travailing in birth again until Christ be formed in our children. Amen? What does the word until mean? You know, this is what your author is saying. And he's saying, until means a period of time or space. It could be long or short in duration. In the Greek, he didn't give me a Greek word, it just says in the Greek, until means to be attached to a purpose and to not give up. Amen? That's what until means. We need to have purpose when we pray, and we should do it until victory is achieved. You see what I'm saying? Do it until victory is achieved. Do it until the thing shows up. You know, don't stop praying just because it's taking a little long. You know, I often tell y'all about, well, look at Sarah and Abraham. And I heard someone talking about that not long ago. I think Abraham, they said, was 75 when the promise came. And he was, what, 100? Was he 100 or 99? You know, when the baby was born. I mean, look at the time. But then the Bible tells us that he was fully persuaded. Amen? He never gave up. He just held on to what God had said until the baby showed up. Amen? Amen. And that's what we have to do. When we have a promise from God, there are things, like I keep telling you, that we know from the Word of God. I told you, you can't be effective in prayer unless you're acquainted with the Word. You gotta know what God has promised. You've got to know what is yours. You got to know what the will of God is. And when you go to God with his will, you just hang in there. Just hang in there until it shows up. We often use, you know, healing. We know healing is ours. It is ours. I don't care what the diagnosis is. I don't care what the doctors say. When we get to the point that we're just willing to just know that with Jesus' stripes, I am healed. He sent his word to heal me and to deliver me from all my destruction. You know, and you just gotta know that, and you gotta stand on that, and you gotta believe that no matter what. You know? You just, you know, sometimes, oh, I might die. Well, hey, amen, you'll go home to glory. You see, that's where you stump the enemy. You know, when you have that attitude, when you have, see, you don't lose. You don't lose. You still don't lose. You know, he wants us to think that, you know, well, you know, you could die. And you did not lose, you know, even then. And then when God see that kind of attitude, he said, oh, well, let me go on down there. Let me take care of this. I mean, here I found me somebody who's going to believe me no matter what, who's going to even look at, that's what Paul did. You know, he said, for me to die is what? Didn't he say gain? And didn't he say it's gain? You know, it's okay. He said, but, you know, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay here with y'all. But, you know, it's okay. Don't let him bluff you. You bluff him. Yeah. You know, you bluff him. I mean, I've had to stand, and I've done some silly things while I was standing. Things even I had to laugh at. You know, like one time, I mean, I'll share this with you. We only have a few minutes. I was getting ready for surgery, and I went to the nail shop, and I got my nails done. I got me a eyebrow arch. I got a pedicure. And on my way home, I said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "You should be at home praying. You know, you having surgery in two, three days. I don't forget what it was." And I just fell out laughing. I just started laughing, and I could not stop. It's like, what am I doing? But I was just showing the enemy, I'm not afraid. I'm believing God. I'm standing on the word of God. You know, and this is what God is looking for. He's looking for us to be bold and to look at the enemy and say, "You're lying. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. You know, you're the father of lies. I don't care. I'm not going to pay no attention to that." Every now and then, you know, we get a little weak in the knees. I got a little weak in the knees at some point. But, you know, pretty soon, I just think, like David, I encouraged myself in the Lord. And before I knew it, I was standing back up again, you know, just laughing at myself for doing some silly things. And if you can laugh at a time like that, you know, isn't it something? You can just laugh. I mean, and I was genuinely laughing. You know, what is wrong? I said, "You have lost your mind." You know, I said, "You should be praying." But there I was, you know, making myself pretty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's it. Amen. Amen. Your exam will be online. Chapter 4 primarily, and whatever we covered tonight. I got as far as, I'll give it to you. What does the word, what does the word "until" mean? Okay, that's going to be one of the little captions in your book. What does the word "until" mean? Amen? All right, y'all be blessed.